imagine something. I want you to imagine that we are living in ancient Egypt. We're living in ancient Egypt, and we are God's people. We are the Israelites. That's wonderful. It's an amazing thing to be one of God's people. But life is very hard for us. It's very hard. We're working as slaves for the Egyptians. We're working for the Egyptians and for their king, Pharaoh. And he's making our lives so hard. There are no holidays at all. It's just work all the time. No weekends. We're working all the time. Hardly any time off. Just working, building for him all the time. Back-breaking work in the hot sun all the time. So life is really hard for us. But there is some good news. We have a leader who God has raised up, Moses. And God has told him that he knows how much we're suffering. God knows what we're going through. And that he has come down to rescue us. Now, children, you've been over in Sunday Club over the last couple of weeks. But over here, last week, we were learning about some of the amazing things that God has been doing. Do you know what God's been doing? He's been showing his power and showing he's in charge. Now, I need the children, you do need to be able to see this screen. So if you can't from where you are, you might want to come and sit out on the carpet here, but just make sure you can see the screen. It's been an amazing few months for us living here in Egypt. So what happened was God sent... Yeah, come and sit down, that would be great, yeah. What God did was he sent some plagues on the land of Egypt. And here's what happened. So first, if you can quite see that, he turned the River Nile to blood. Imagine, yuck, the whole river turned to blood. And then frogs came. Loads of frogs came out of the river. And they covered the land. They were everywhere. They were outside, they were inside, in the houses, in the bedrooms, in the kitchens, in the ovens, everywhere. Then there were gnats. There's one gnat. There wasn't one gnat. There were millions, billions of gnats swarming all over the land. And then swarms. There you are. There's a swarm. Swarms of flies covering the whole land of Egypt as well. Then God sent a sickness that meant all of the cattle died. All of the cattle in the land of Egypt died at that time. Next one's a bit yucky. Ready? There was a plague of boils. Ready? Yuck. Ugh. There was a plague of boils. Everyone in the whole country covered in these painful sores all over their bodies. Then there was hail. Have you ever seen hailstones? Have you ever been outside when there's been a hailstorm? You can go and pick them up and they're kind of little, about the size of a pea, aren't they? I found a picture of a big hailstone. Look at that. Imagine hails like that. Well, they said in Egypt it was just the biggest storm that anyone had ever seen. And it caused huge destruction. The trees were crashing down as God sent that plague on the land of Egypt. And then swarms of locusts. We know there were a few plants that were left over or that grew after the hail came. But then swarms of locusts came and they ate everything. They ate all of the green plants and all the crops over the whole land. And then God sent a plague of darkness. Nothing. No one could see anything at all. So I don't know if you counted that. That was nine times. Nine times. God said to Pharaoh, let my people go. And if you don't, I'll send one of these plagues. Nine times God said that. Nine times he said he'd send a plague. And nine times he did it. But do you know what? Every time through all of this, the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, he said no. He said no. He would not let us. He would not let the Israelites go. And then God said he would do something else. So we're going to hear our reading. David's going to tiptoe through you there. And I'm going to put it up on the screen as well. And that David will read to us.
Brilliant. If you want to follow it in the Bible, it's on page 68. Exodus chapter 11, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Moses, I will bring one more plague on Pharaoh and on Egypt. After that, he will let you go from here, and when he does, he will drive you out completely. Then down to verse 4. So Moses said, "This is what the Lord says. About midnight I will go throughout Egypt. Every firstborn son in Egypt will die. From the firstborn son of Pharaoh who sits on the throne to the firstborn son of the slave girl who is at her handmill, and all the firstborn of the cattle as well. There will be loud wailing throughout Egypt, worse than there has ever been or ever will be again. But among the Israelites, not a dog will bark at any man or animal. Then you will know that the Lord makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel."
So did you hear that? God says he's going to send one more plague on the land of Egypt, and it will be the most terrible of all, because the firstborn son, that is the oldest son, the oldest boy in every house, will die. But did you notice something else at the end? Not in our houses. Remember, we're the Israelites. Not in our houses. We're going to be okay. The oldest son won't die there. We're going to be safe. Now, I wonder, is that because we're better than the Egyptians, that God looks at us and you think, oh, we live better lives, and therefore it won't happen to us? Not at all. Not at all. But you know what? God has a way that we can be safe. He has a way that the Israelite homes can be safe. And we're going to be finding out that more after our next song. It's a song that reminds us that actually none of us is good enough for God by ourselves. We like to think we are. None of us is good enough for God by ourselves. We need him to save us. But brilliantly, in Jesus, we have a mighty, mighty Saviour. So as the music begins, let's stand and sing.
No, you can watch.
Sorry?
Try it again.
Someone to cleanse me.
Now, just remember where we were. Remember what that last plague was going to be. Remember what God said would happen. At midnight, he said he would come through the land, and the oldest son, the firstborn, the oldest son in every home would die. I'd like you to imagine that we're a kind of an Israelite family. Imagine this is our house, this is our door. And I wonder, you could put your hand up here. Put your hand up if you are the oldest son in your family. Okay, so you've got no older brothers. Okay, hands up, yeah, no hiding. There's no hiding. Okay, yeah, so you've got quite a lot of oldest sons here. So imagine you're an Israelite family and you've heard that God is coming and the oldest son in every family will die. If you're the oldest son, you want to know how you're going to be safe, don't you? You want to know how you can be sheltered and protected. Well, we're now going to hear what God said. David's going to read again for us.
Chapter 12, verse 1. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, "This month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The lambs you choose must be year-old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs." And down to verse 11. "This is how you are to eat it, with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt."
So did you hear what God said of how the eldest son could be safe? Did you hear what he said? We need to take a lamb that has nothing wrong with it. And then we're going to have to kill the lamb and put some of the blood from the lamb on our doorposts, on the door frame. Now that might not sound very nice, but did you hear? It's very, very important. Because God said when he comes through the land, he will see the blood on the doorposts. And when he sees the blood on the doorposts, he'll know that there has been a death in that household. And so he will pass over our houses. Now, can you think just how important that is for the eldest son to know? To know that what's happened is that the lamb has died so that they don't have to. And so the Lord said he will pass over. And that's why this time, in their history, as they look back on it, was known as the Passover. They remembered when the Lord passed over their houses. So now, I'd like you to imagine that it's that night. Okay? It's the night that God is going to come through the land of Egypt. We're an Israelite household. We're a big family, aren't we? But we're in our house. There's our door. And now, who's feeling nervous in the house? Okay, and a few. It's some of the older boys are. Are looking a little nervous. So we could take one of the older boys. Who would be? Oh, we've got Oscar is one of the older sons. Now, I'd like you to imagine for this. Imagine that I'm the kind of head of this household, and I'm saying. Imagine I'm saying this. I'm saying, isn't it great? Isn't it great that God is going to rescue us from Egypt? Aren't you excited about that? Isn't that great, Oscar? Oscar. You don't seem very excited. You're looking a bit sort of quiet. Is there something that you'd like me to do? You'd like me to do something. What would you like me to do? put the blood, you'd like me to put some blood, oh yeah, so the lamb thing. Yeah, I'll get round to it, don't worry, I'll get round to it, I'll do it later. So, but just think, isn't it exciting though? Have you heard what God's going to do? You know, we're not going to be slaves anymore. Isn't that brilliant news? We're not going to be slaves. It'll be wonderful not to have to work so hard. Isn't that good news, Oscar? Still looking a bit quiet there. What was that? What would you like me to do? You want me to do the lamb? I'll do the lamb. Is there anyone else who'd like me to do the lamb? Yes. Yeah, that's right. Christopher, you'd like me to do it. And Charlie, you'd like me to do it. Alexander, you'd like me to do it. Nathan. All of these older boys, they want me to get on with it, don't they? What if I were to say, to look out at many of these, I mean, they're all very nice lads, aren't they? I mean, if you've met any of them, they're lovely. And you might think, am I sure I need to do this? Because they're such nice kids. You know, surely God, when he comes through the land, he'll look and he'll think, oh, he's such a good lad, and he listens most of the time, and he kind of helps around the house, and he's kind to his sisters. You know, that'll be all right, won't it? I'm sure you'll be fine. No, we could never think like that, could we? How silly to think like that. It didn't matter how good the oldest son had been. Didn't matter if he listened to his mum the whole time. Didn't matter if he was kind to his sisters and said his prayers every day. The only thing that could keep him safe was if the lamb died in his place. That's the only thing, isn't it? So, time's getting on. Time's getting on. It's not long till midnight. I better get on with this. Excuse me. I have got a lamb here, and it's a good lamb. It has to be a kind of perfect lamb. This one's even got a little bow thing on it. There's the lamb. Okay, and now you might want to. Turn away for this bit. I'll just a minute. Okay. So now the lamb. I've done the lamb. Tried to make it quick. And now I've got some of the blood of the lamb here. And let's just put some up there. Okay. And just want to make sure, don't we? Put some on the other side as well, and up there, okay, and on the frames it said, so there we go. So, how are the oldest boys doing now? Feeling better, that's right, because now we know what's going to happen, don't we? We know that they're safe. You know, even if, imagine one of them thinks, oh, actually, I've not been that good recently. Imagine if one of the boys thinks, actually, I've had a really bad week. I've had a bad year. I've been really, really naughty the whole time. Maybe God won't save me. That's wrong, isn't it? That's not true. Why? Because you're not saved by how good they are. They're saved by the blood of the Lamb that has died in their place. So we know that God will pass over. Imagine being one of the oldest sons. How good it is to know that. See, the oldest sons were saved by God's plan, providing a lamb for them, the Passover lamb, not because they deserved it, but because he's so generous, because of what the Bible calls his grace. And we're going to sing about that now. It's the same that's true for us today. If we put our trust in Jesus who died for us, we'll think about that more in a moment, then we're saved by what God has done, by his grace. So as the music begins, let's stand and we'll sing. Would you know when God told the Israelites about that very special evening and all that they would have to do so that they could be safe, to be ready to escape from Egypt, he also told them that this was something that they were not to forget, and that they were to remember for years and years and years to come. And they were to do so in various ways, but also, especially with a special Passover meal. And David's just going to read a short extra part now.
chapter 12, verse 24. Obey these instructions as a lasting ordinance for you and your descendants. When you enter the land that the Lord will give you, as he promised, observe this ceremony. And when your children ask you, what does this ceremony mean to you? Then tell them, it is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians. Then the people bowed down and worshipped.
When God told the Israelites what to do that first Passover night, he said he wanted them to remember it for years and years. They were to have this special Passover meal every year so that they could always remember that they were people who had been saved by God and saved by the blood of the Lamb who died for them on that night. And it was also a picture of what God would eventually do when he sent his own son Jesus into the world. Do you know what happened in John's Gospel when Jesus first walked onto the scene? John the Baptist saw him. Do you know what he said? He said this. It says, the next day John saw Jesus coming towards him. He said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He says Jesus was the Lamb of God. And Jesus described himself as the Passover Lamb. And the Bible tells us that Jesus is like that Passover lamb who died in our place. You know, the Bible says that God has promised that there'll be a day when he comes not just through the land of Egypt, but through the whole world. A day when God comes to judge the world. And it is a day when we need to know that we are safe. And God has told us there's a way that every one of us, not just the older sons, but all of us, there's a way that all of us can be absolutely safe on that day. We won't be safe by thinking, well, I've tried to live a really good life. I've just been as good as I can. We won't be safe on that day in that way. We won't be safe by saying, well, look at what I've done. Look at how much I've gone to church. Look at all the religious things I've done. That won't keep us safe. There's only one thing that will keep us safe on that day, and it is the blood. It is the blood of Jesus, because he died for us in our place so that we can be safe. So it's as though God would look at us if we're trusting in Jesus and would say, ah, well, there's already been a death here, and that he has died in our place so that we can be right with God. You know, this is so important for us to know. And it's something which we mustn't forget. And Jesus encouraged us to remember what he did with a meal. Next week we're going to be sharing bread and wine, having communion. And that's a time when we remember again and again and again what he has done to save us. But this is a question that I think all of us, every one of us, needs to think about. Are we sure of where we stand before God? Are we going to be safe when we meet God, when he returns? And the Bible tells us there's only one way to be safe. We need to look to the blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus, and the fact that he died for us. And let that be something that we never forget. Do you know, I think it's a great thing for us to thank God for every day that, if you like, Jesus' blood, it's like a shelter for us that protects us so we can be safe and be right with God. Well, why don't we pray? Let's pray and say thank you to God for what he has done for us.